Hello and welcome to the first episode of The Fitness Solution in what feels like for absolutely ever. Now, there's a couple of reasons that this has taken me a while. Number one, life. Number two, life. And number three, lockdown 2.0. But I am here today with a lovely little episode for you. I'm not going to lie, the last sort of month of my life has been a little bit crazy, but that's equally as wonderful as well. And the future is looking just as crazy, but equally as wonderful too. So I apologize for not getting this episode out sooner, but I've been going through a lot of business changes. I've been going through a lot of personal changes, and it's just one of those things. You can't always keep abreast of everything, despite how much value I know that these episodes have to you, my beautiful, gorgeous, wonderful, adoring listeners. And I'm also aware how much I get from producing them and how much I get from doing them for you as well. But the truth is, you know, life's been busy. I've not been able to find many guests, but I think I've come up with a solution for that now. So I'm hopefully going to be able to be a bit more consistent, definitely heading into 2021. What does that mean? Well, as I mentioned, my business has changed ever so slightly in that I'm having to migrate everything onto a new online system, which is going very, very well. And if you are interested in working with me in that manner, I call it the So Much More program. So many of my old one-to-one in-gym clients, and they always kind of felt that they only could work out if they ever saw a person waiting for them at the gym. But the truth about working out is very simply, you need to be working out more than once a week if you really want to get what you want out of a training regimen. And paying for a personal trainer three times a week is hella expensive. And so it proves to be a bit of a, you end up kind of just treading water a little bit, which is a shame. And as much as I've always tried to empower my clients to take action outside of our one-to-one sessions, and in fact, being able to do that was wonderful. I know not all personal trainers offer that outside of their normal sessions. So I created what I call the So Much More program. And on that, you basically get so much more of me, which is surely what any of you want. I'm joking. What I mean is, with online one-to-one coaching, you can get more flexibility, you can get more sessions, you can get more access, you get more progress, and above all, you get more results at a more affordable price than if we was to see each other one-to-one. What do I mean by that? Well, you can choose when you work out and when you don't work out. I'll write programs for you based on four times a week, two times a week. I'll probably try and move you away from one time a week because I want to see you ticking over well. You get more sessions, we'll be working out more. You get more access, I'll email you every day. And then all of that will accumulate into more progress and more results. And results equal whatever you want them to equal. If that means you just want to move better, feel stronger, we do that. If you want to focus on a bit of weight loss, we can do that too. It really doesn't matter. It's your program malleable to you with the guidance and knowledge of me. And I will show you exactly what to do in order to get to where you want to go. So if that sounds like, I'm sorry for the big pitch, but there's huge changes coming in my life and I kind of need to ensure some income. So if it's something you're thinking about, that's great. If it's something you really think, actually, no, now's the time to pull the trigger. Let's go. Let's do it. Go to my website, www.thegymstarter.com. That's www.thegymstarter.com, and click the online one-to-one training tab at the top, and that will show you all about it. And then submit an application form for me at the bottom of that page, and I'll get that, and we can arrange a chat from there. No pressure, but that's where it is, www.thegymstarter.com. Right, now let me tell you about today's episode. I've got somebody called Beth Ferraco on the podcast. And Beth and I recently, when we recorded the podcast, recently just kind of met, and it was awesome. We met in a coaching group online that we're both a part of. And she's got a wonderful story about alcoholism and how she pulled away from that and into fitness, and then now how she works with people and everything else. And it's a good chat. I think it's always important to listen to people's stories who have come from dark places like that and found that brightness in the future. It gives us perspective, a very important perspective that I think we can lose in the rock and roll of everyday life, in the rock and roll of our everyday life. And that perspective, especially at the moment with the political climate and everything, it's important that we understand that, you know, there's many people who have had very different journeys to ours and have managed to come out on the other side as well. And there's something nice about that. There's something that can inspire hope. And especially in this year of all years, I think that's a really, really, really important thing to behold. So all of that being said, give Beth a listen. After we recorded this, her TikTok exploded. I'm not going to take credit, but I'm going to take credit. And she's just gone from strength to strength to strength to strength over the last month or 6 weeks or so. And it's been truly, truly incredible. So I'm sorry I've rambled for about 6 minutes. I hope you don't mind me taking up that amount of your time. But the interview is quite short. We only chat for about half hour or so. So I thought I could sneak this little advert in to the podcast introduction. As always, if you have any questions, if you need anything from me, you know how to find me. Instagram, email, adam@thegymstarter.com, wherever you can get hold of me, get hold of me. It's good to talk. And that's why I love doing a podcast. That's why I love helping people. That's basically why I'm known as the Gym Starter. Right, that's it from me. Let's get on with the show. I'll do introduction again. So after being rudely interrupted on my introduction, here we go. Welcome to the Fitness Solution. I have a wonderful guest for you today on the podcast. Her name is Beth, and I would attempt her second name, but I'm not sure I can pronounce it correctly. And she's from Maine in New England, which is a beautiful part of the world. And we've only just recently connected, actually. So this is going to be a really good chat, us kind of getting to know each other, but also talking all about the back and forths of why I've got Beth on, and that is to talk about addiction, alcoholism, fitness, coming through things like that, and all the rest of it, because Beth's got an astounding story that is well worth hearing, listening to, and understanding. So let's say hey.
Hey.
Excellent. There you go. Yeah, that was your
What's key. Happening?
Good. Well, thank you for coming on. Have you had a good day?
Yes, thank you. Yes. I'm in a bit of a workout funk these days, so I'm trying to fight that. I don't know what's going on, but you know how that works.
Yeah, why is that? What's going on there? What
do you think? I don't know. I have no idea. I think it's maybe because I'm working from home now, and my gym is in my basement, and that's I can get really sidetracked, and then, you know, I'll go down there, and then I'm on the phone like working, and then I'm, you know, it's just nothing's really effective at this point.
One of the best tips I ever heard about, kind of like if you are trying to train from home and stuff like that, is get everything ready, like get your washing done or get it out of my whatever. Just like what you need to do is you need to leave your house, then put on some music or whatever, go for a walk around the block, and then walk back into your house. Once your house is fully set up for you to work out in, walk back into your house with the sole intention of almost like you are now at the gym, and it is your home, but you're now in the gym and you've kind of changed that environment, but you have to leave the environment, then kind of cleanse yourself of the environment and then come back into that environment with that intention. Almost the same way we do like drive to the gym, don't we? We walk to the gym. Give yourself a journey to the gym, even though it's back to your own house. And that might just help give you a different energy for when you are there. Cause I know what it's like. You wake up and you roll out of bed and you're like, oh, I need to go lift the weights that are in my back garden or whatever. And you just can't be bothered. I'm exactly the same. If I'm not in a gym, I'm not working out. That's just life.
Yeah.
Unless I'm going for a run. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I'm going to try that. That's a good idea.
There you go.
Just to get out first and then come back in.
Good. I like to think I've got a few good ideas up my sleeve. So who knows what we'll both learn today?
Exactly. Learn something new. Hey, perfect.
Exactly. So Beth, tell us about yourself. Tell us your story. Tell us where you're from, how you got here. Let's have the last however many years in about. Can you do it in like 2 minutes? Is that okay?
Let's see. Where should I start? Should I start like where my fitness journey began? How I became sober and like quickly go into that?
Start wherever you desire. Honestly,
let's see.
You've got longer than 2 minutes, I promise you.
Okay. All right. So let's start from the beginning, just of, I guess, my fitness journey, like becoming sober. Let's see, I was 42. So it's 5 years ago. I'm 47 now.
Wow. And it, there's no way you're 47.
I'm 47. It's crazy.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, sorry, for those listening, that's crazy. I hope we're on a video chat here. Beth does not look 47 years old. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I'm almost 50. It's nuts. I definitely don't feel 47. But so I had a young, you know, child at the time. He was probably 3 or 4. He's 8 now. So yeah, it's like 3 or 4. And his, like, from birth till then, it was very like a difficult child. Like he has like sensory stuff. So I never slept. Like I always felt like I had a crying baby. I was a stay-at-home mom and I started drinking a lot. Like we're talking, you know, a bottle would turn into like 2 bottles. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I would show up at like these like story times hungover, you know, and it's like, holy shit. And then I couldn't wait till like 3 o'clock to start drinking again. It was that kind of, and it just, it's went on.
Did you always kind of like think 3 o'clock is the point at which I start drinking?
I just felt like, all right, like dinner, close to dinner time. I was like, ready. Yeah. It's like, all right, let's go.
Was that also kind of like a justification in your head? Do you think that it was like, it's fine. I've got it under control because
yeah, because you know,
until 3 o'clock, right? I'm not an alcoholic.
It's mommy time.
At 10 o'clock in the morning. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, totally. And let's just say, like backstory, like before becoming a mom and stuff, I was in Los Angeles. I was a fashion designer for a little bit, and you know, I worked in a bar. I lived the bar life, the fast lane. So I was always like kind of like a drinker anyway. Drugs, but didn't carry that on. The drug part was like gone a while ago. It was the drinking that kind of carried on into like my married life and then kid life. It was like, you can't party like that now. Right. But I still was.
Right.
So, except when I was pregnant and breastfeeding,
yeah,
I did not do that. But, so one day, what happened? We were at a cookout. It was August. I had like a bottle of wine and I drove home with both. I have a stepdaughter and my son in the car. And I woke up the next day. I don't fucking remember.
Wow.
And I was like, you know what? I could have killed them. I could have killed me. Something needs to stop. So I think a few days later, it was like August 21st that I was like, all right, I'm done. I walked into an AA meeting. It was like right down the street from my house. They had a meeting every day at 7 and I walked in and I went there every day for a year.
Wow.
Yeah. So I just dove right in. And during that time, I met a girl named Allison. She was like, we're doing a boot camp every 5:30 in the morning, every day. So I ended up going to like a boot camp type fitness thing at 5:30 in the morning. We would do a lot of running. So I started getting into running. So did this 5 days a week, went there from 5:30 to 6:30 and then went right to my meetings. So I ended up doing like 5Ks, 10Ks, my first half marathon, all that stuff throughout that year.
Wow. And in a year, you got all that together in a year.
Yeah, I did.
That's
great. Yeah. I'm that kind of, you know, the addiction, like
yeah,
it's that my like mentality, like, let's just go, you know?
Yeah.
So she ended up getting a job somewhere far away. So we couldn't meet anymore. So there was actually a new gym that opened up across the street from me where I live. So that was kind of convenient. I ended up getting a membership there. And then I got a job working behind the desk. And then from there, my boss, his name Hunter, he's actually in the mentorship.
Okay.
Hunter Grindle.
Big shout out, Mr. Hunter.
Yes. What's up, Hunter? he asked if I wanted to start interning, like become a trainer. I was like, yeah, I'd love to. And that kind of like how that started. I started interning. I started taking a nutrition course because at the same time, you know, I was trying to lose weight and I noticed like other members were working really hard and they were in the same boat as me. Like, why can't we lose weight? Mm-hmm. So that was my goal. It's like, I'm going to figure out how to do this. So I, during my nutrition course, this is when I met Jordan, got involved with the Inner Circle. And I started doing one of his Unicorn Strong challenges. And, you know, he has a whole setup with like nutrition and, you know, and you need to scale and you need to track. And I was like, oh, wow. So I started doing it. And I was like, holy shit, I'm eating too much food. Like, it was like that light bulb. Like, oh my God, I've never weighed and measured my food before. Like, I mean, I can't have like, or, you know, two servings of rice and like all this avocado oil and, you know, all this other stuff. It's like, okay, let's try this. Let's try this. And I ended up losing like 8 pounds. And then, you know, it just kind of went from there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and now what is it you do?
So now I'm actually a Mike Boyle strength and conditioning coach. And I have my nutrition cert as well as a personal training cert, which I would not recommend anyone try to get one of those online. I mean, I did it because I was like, you know, there were some people like saying that, yeah, you don't have a personal training cert. And I was like, screw you. I'm going to get a freaking personal training cert, you know? And everyone's telling, like, the people that know are like, you don't need that. I'm like, yeah, but fuck them. I'm going to show them, you know? So I got it in the middle of it. I was like, wow. They're so right. This is such a waste.
Yeah.
Because it's so dated, you know?
Yep. It's very poor information, isn't it? I always say,
yeah,
it's a lot like driving. You don't really learn to drive a car until you're on the road on your own. You don't learn to be a personal trainer until you're in the gym with someone, no matter how.
Exactly. And I was already in the gym and I was learning from people there. And, you know, the Mike Boyle cert was an in-person cert. So I learned a lot from that.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, that's where I'm at with that.
Perfect. What a story.
Did you get all that, Adam?
I did. I think it's all in my brain. So let's rewind the clock. Then let's like, as long as you don't panic, and we'll talk about it. So what was the process of kind of, do you think you really needed that kind of car crash? Literal car crash wake up call, or do you think and then what was the process of basically getting sober? Like, talk us through that whole year, because it's so interesting, because I went through like a period in my life where lasted maybe about 8 months where I was teetotal. Like I had 0% beer and things like that, but I really enjoyed the challenge of not drinking alcohol, not because I was addicted to it, but really just, I think it's important that we go through periods of restriction and stuff like that with certain things that you do. And for me, I think it was a good thing for me to do. So I'm very interested in hearing people's stories about getting sober and stuff and alcoholism and things. I read a great book on it called The Unexpected Joy of Being Sober. And the information in that was just incredible about alcohol and what it can do to us and stuff. So
yeah.
What was getting sober like?
Well, I think like leading up to that day, like I would always try. I'd always be like, all right, I'm going to go 30 days. And I could never make it past like a week. Right. At that point, I really felt like my body was actually taking over more. It was more than me just saying, I'm not doing this anymore. Like it was really... I was an addict, you know, truly. I mean, on and off for a long time. And I never really dealt, like my dad passed away suddenly when I was 18, like 4 days before graduation from high school. And that kind of like set me off on this whole like tangent for years. I never really dealt with it.
Right.
And so I think, you know, it was just a lot of dealing with my past. And I knew, I just felt like it was time. All right. I always felt lonely, even though I was married, I had a child. I just was not happy. So, and then getting sober just kind of made me realize a lot of things that I was just living in the past and not dealing with grief and that kind of stuff.
I'm sorry to hear.
So, yeah.
Father, that's a horrible, I'm just ever so sorry to hear about your father and it had that effect on you. That must have been very hard to kind of come to terms with.
For sure, yeah.
Was it like literally on off or during that year of sobriety or getting clear?
I was completely sober. I've never relapsed. No,
did you come close?
Close to a relapse?
Yeah.
No.
Oh,
no.
Excellent. So it was literally.
I was so done.
Rules up.
Yep.
That's
done.
Fantastic. Why And do you think fitness helped you with that?
Oh, for sure.
In what way? For sure.
Well, the funny thing is when I was going to college in Arizona, when I was probably, that's right after my dad passed away, maybe a year later, I was 19 and my major was nutrition.
Right. Okay.
But I quit that and moved to California. And that's when it was like, woohoo, party. Yeah. I'm in Cali. Right. So yeah, I quit school. That never happened. And I think it's always been in my blood. Like I've always loved the nutrition part, and it just kind of came full circle, I guess.
That's very sweet, isn't
it? Yeah, it is.
Did you feel like you had some unfinished business?
Yeah, I guess so. Like it felt like, all right, I'm right where I need to be. This is it. And then, you know, through me helping people, it like helps me.
In what ways?
It helps. Well, it just makes me happy. It keeps me sober, I guess. Like just giving back, just always like being, there, because I know what it's like. And I feel like addiction, people are addicted in so many different ways to so many different things. And I think food and like alcoholism is closely related when it comes to like binge eating and people addicted to sugar. So they say, and you know, I've had people actually compare alcoholism with their food addiction. And it's actually sometimes floored me. They're like, well, you know, what would you do if you, would you be able to drink again? I'm like, well, actually, no. They're like, well, I have to still eat. So you're like, wow, okay. But it's different, like chemical addiction compared to like a fat and sugar, like carbohydrate mix. That's more like palatable to your taste buds. And like alcohol, you're actually, you can get physically addicted.
Right.
Go through with.
Yeah, yeah. But both obviously create... Both create like the happy hormone, don't they? I can't remember. Melatonin. Is it melatonin? Is it melatonin? No, it's not.
Serotonin, right?
Yeah, my brain is shot. I'm having brain fog all the time. So like, surely when you indulge in either, you get that hit of serotonin, don't you?
Yeah.
And how much of that serotonin hit is masked by alcohol? How much of it compared to food addictions, or like, how does that work? Do you know?
I don't know.
No, fair enough. I thought it was a very
they're both like they say, like, you know, alcoholism is like, it's like a brain disease. So they call it stinking thinking. And I think like food addiction is also still, it's mind, you know, you got to deal with stuff that you're trying to cover stuff up, you know, loneliness, sadness, anger with the food. It's like instant gratification, but then it goes away.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? It's interesting.
It really is.
Like, do you feel, to a degree, do you kind of think, well, having battled such a big addiction in your life, do you think that you then turn around when someone says, oh, I'm addicted to food, you're like, are you, like, I think you're, do you think people use it as a convenient excuse sometimes in their lives?
That's the thing. It's like, how can you compare the two?
Because I highly doubt these people have ever been actually addicted to a drug.
Right.
I mean, they might. Exactly. I don't know. I know I'm talking in general terms, but have you ever been addicted to food?
No.
Okay. So you can't even draw a parallel between the two.
Right. Yeah.
How interesting. What kind of behaviors do you see that is the same, and what kind of behaviors do you see that is different?
It's like that pull back to, I feel like some of them get pulled, like they can't have it, or they can't stop.
Right.
You know? But like, it's more of like your stomach knows when to stop, right? For food, you get full. Like it's your brain. You have to tell yourself to stop.
Yeah.
Like with like alcohol, like your body actually needs it. Like your body's telling you something like, give me, because I'm addicted. And like with the food, your stomach is actually trying to tell you, stop feeding me.
Interesting. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Right.
And the only way to, obviously the only way to undo that is completely cut it off.
Or, you know, it's the thinking that something's bad, you know, that whole restriction from it. And then you want it, when you have it, you don't stop eating it because you feel like it's not good. I think that has a lot to do with it. People label food so much, and I've noticed that more and more. And then they also, you know, will call themselves bad or good. I was good today, or I was bad.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a whole like mental thing too. You know, we got to change the way we speak to ourselves and the way that we label things, because that sets the tone.
God, yeah. I mean, that's so massive. I mean, I always, whenever I was in the gym, I used to always say to my clients, like, what's been good this week and what's been not so great this week? Because I don't want them to go, it's been good or bad. And then they'll go, well, I've been really bad this week. It's like, oh God, this is not, it's not having the effect I need with them. But it's, so I suppose, would you class alcohol as completely and utterly just bad? Like in your life, if you used to, it's not even worth talking about, to be honest. But
yeah,
I suppose it's bad because it's so off limits, because it's not an option. So it literally is bad. So it's, yeah, would you argue it's okay to label that as bad, but then just food that we always have choice over.
Well, I think alcohol is a
list like that.
I think alcohol is a toxic substance. It really is. I mean,
it's more addictive.
People literally die from it.
Yeah, it's more addictive than any other drug in the world, is alcohol.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't really think it's good. But, I mean, yeah, it doesn't do anything good for anybody, really. But... then that's just me. I mean, it's fun and everything else, but at what cost? I don't know. It causes, you know.
No, I agree. It's an interesting discussion.
I could go into a rabbit hole with that, but yeah, I mean, that's just my opinion too. So I just, you know, I don't know. I've seen what it's done to people. I've seen what it's done to me.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's not good.
No, I'm much the same, in my life too. And it's funny how social it is, isn't it? How socially acceptable it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that makes it a lot harder for people. When I stopped drinking alcohol, people, it was weird having to justify myself all the time to people. Having to justify, like, even going to a bar and then not having, like, a 0% beer that I like, because the options of 0% beers are still really quite small, although they are getting better. And and it was like, and people would look at me and I'd be like, oh, that's annoying. And I'd even say, can we go somewhere else? And they'd think, what? Why? Just have a beer. And it's like, no, I can't just have a beer. That's not an option. That is not acceptable. So see, if we go somewhere else, I'm just gonna have to sit here and have Coke and not enjoy myself as much. But I don't like drinking Coke, so why should I do that? You know, I felt constantly compromised the whole time, which was very irritating, mainly because of how society view me as a I wasn't teetotal, not like you were, but like just as someone who doesn't indulge in alcohol. Like it's a whole hard barrier to come up against. And then we like seem to accept with people, I'm low carb. Oh, that's okay. Like, we don't challenge them like we do if they're not low alcohol or no alcohol, do we?
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. Very strange, the psyche of society.
I know, right? It really is.
Why totally. Is that? In the book, The Unexpected Joy of Being Sober, they say in that the governments make so much money off of alcohol. That's why they're always willing to like promote it. Like the UK government have put money into advertising for beer companies and stuff like that, just to keep revenue up. And they've suppressed like negative scientific stories about the negative effects of alcohol. And it's when you're up against the government like that as well, it's just terrifying, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're never going to win. It's very irritating. So what kind of training do you do now? Do you find you attract people who have the same kind of history as you, or do you just work with everyone and anyone?
Yeah, mostly women, at my age, like in their 40s, looking for fat loss. That's been right now. And I have a couple that, are with me because they're or trying to get sober and stuff like that. And
that's cool. What's it like taking them through the journey?
It's just starting with this one. So, you know, it's interesting because, you know, as a coach and another person in recovery, like their journey is their journey and my journey is my journey. You know, and you just have to let them go through their
process.
Their, yeah, exactly. So it's pretty cool. I'm super grateful that I can be there.
Yeah. That's incredible. Yeah. That's such an honor to be able to give that support.
It really is to be able to help someone else. Cause you know, it takes a village. I had a lot of support and you need that because it's not easy. You know, like you said, alcohol is everywhere. Like it was very hard in the beginning for me. You know, it was summertime. There's barbecues. There's, you know, you name it, like, you know, nighttime. And you have those trigger times, like the evening, that 3 o'clock it came around. And I was like, you know, oh, this is the time you normally drank. I stopped cooking for a while because I would usually drink wine while cooking. And it would like set me off. Like, I can't do this. You know, it's just uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. And I suppose like the other thing that isn't considered is all of those triggers in your life that were there when you was drinking are still there when you're becoming sober. Like for instance, you know, like you said, like, you know, your son and everything else and the stress of that and stuff, like that wasn't going to go away overnight and nor should it. So you have to, a lot of people say when they're talking about people trying to get healthy, lose weight, whatever, like a big phrase you hear, and I heard it a lot when I first started personal training, was you can't heal in the same environment that made you sick. But like some people have no choice.
I don't know. Yeah.
Some people have to, right? You can't get rid of children, can you? You can't get rid of, move house because I'm suddenly got to do this or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so actually the truth is no, you need to learn ways of being able to make your environment work for you, the new person that you're becoming, don't you?
Oh yeah. You create new habits.
Yeah.
You know, you know, my new habit was fitness and running. I would always make sure that, you know, there was always a race I had to train for, I always made sure that I made time for myself, because before I don't think I made time for myself and I was suffocating.
Okay.
So I always took like, you know, an hour every in the morning and either like ran, walked, or I'd be working at the gym, you know, just self-care is super important. And I really took advantage of that.
Yeah, too right. And you had every right to as well.
You know, yeah.
Did you find you was like replacing the habit of having a glass in the hand or whatever it might be with other kind of little behaviors? Did you do any other idiosyncrasies?
I'm trying to think. Not really. No, I never really. I think because I was at the same time I was working on my relationship with food, so a lot of things were changing. My thought process about a lot of things were different. Yeah. Like I didn't replace it with food, or I might have drank like 15 La Croix a night.
What's a La Croix?
La Croix, it's a seltzer. This one's limoncello flavored.
Right, okay. Have you ever had like limoncello from Italy?
Oh yeah. Oh,
that's good stuff, isn't it? One of the first holidays I had with my fiance was, she wasn't my fiance at the time, she was just my girlfriend, we went to Naples and we'd climb Mount Vesuvius and then we came into Pompeii and we ended up in this shop in Pompeii, and literally in Italy, like they'll just hand you limoncello on a tray to try, and oh, it knocked my socks off, and I didn't realize it was like as alcoholic as it was, and I was like, my goodness, like I've got to drive home with that. I was like, God, that's strong.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff.
Yeah, the real deal too.
Oh yeah, but no. So limoncello, like seltzer, is that just like carbonated water?
Yeah.
Awesome. So I started drinking carbonated water to try and suppress the urge to have a beer every evening.
Yeah. It's my new beer.
Yeah, no, it's a really good trick.
I think I also threw myself in education too. Right at the beginning I was like, you know, getting my nutrition cert, and I was always, you know, studying for something.
Yeah.
So I kind of threw myself in there. So I didn't really have any, that was my distraction. Running, you know, working at the gym and my education.
Good, good stuff. So, like, what would be like your five top pieces of advice for someone who wants to make a change similar to yours in their lives?
I guess, you know, just admitting that you have a problem, that's okay. I think a lot of people feel it's like shame around it. Yeah. And I know I did for a long time before I even walked in that AA meeting. I was like, maybe that was part of it too. I was like, I felt shame that I couldn't do this on my own. Like, oh, I can't believe I have to go to AA with those people is what I thought.
Yeah.
But it's like, you just have to, you know, let it go and admit. Yeah. And then, you know, just do the work on your mental health. It's super important because I think that, you know, mental health and fitness and losing weight is really, you know, related. Like, one doesn't work without the other sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
So I guess that would be my one. Just do the work, do the mental work that you need to do, and, you know, just be consistent and know that this stuff, it takes time.
Yeah.
Takes a lot of time. Like, there's no overnight, you know, I'm like going on 5 years of my fitness journey. And I feel like each year I look different.
In what ways?
I'm leaner. If you look at my stories on Instagram today, my time hop reminds me, like, from 4 years ago, there's a picture, then there's one of three, then of two, and then I took one today. I was like, wow, that's so crazy, the difference. Like, yeah, take pictures. Take photos.
So would you say, like, documenting your journey, like diarizing?
Documenting, yeah. Yeah. For sure. Yep.
Yeah, that's, I can imagine that'd be useful. So in the same way, it's useful for someone who's trying to lose weight, like, because you probably don't notice the small steps day in, day out, or month in, month out. But when you look back and you get that hindsight, it can really, really help, can't it?
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other great bits of advice?
I'm trying to think on the whim here.
You mentioned just allowing it to be your journey, didn't you? Like, just,
yeah. Don't compare yourself, to someone else, because your journey is your journey. And it's, I think people lose the sight of when they're in the journey, like who they meet and like the experiences they have, the small wins. Mm. It's like, those are so important. They get to you. Like, I've met so many cool people.
Did you find it was really useful in like pulling you into the present? Like, it made you just grateful for like just the small things each and every day, like just the small from someone, the small conversation here, the small conversation there.
I never really looked
on the big picture. Yeah.
Too far ahead. I've always, because it's one day at a time, right? Yeah. So you just look at from like day to day. And I just did the work every single day. And I wasn't like, I want to be here at this time. I never really, you know, there wasn't a time in my head. It was just becoming better every day.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's great. Well, what a lovely chat. How can everyone who's listening to you find out more about you and catch you?
I'm on Instagram at Beth Ferracco Fitness. Also, you can check out my website at BethFerraccoFitness.com.
Ferracco, that's F-E-R-R-A-C-O.
F-E-R-A-C-O, Ferracco.
F-E-R-A-C-O. Where's that from? Where's that from?
My husband's Italian, so.
Perfect. Whereabouts in Italy is he from?
Well, he's from Rhode Island. I don't exactly know from, like, but his... Nani, who's 104.
Wow. They live for ages.
Yeah, it's still living. Yeah. So.
That's awesome. So Beth Ferracco Fitness.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I'm sure people would love to catch up with you and check you out. And I can't recommend it enough. Her feeds are great. Like, her TikTok's great. Her Instagram's great.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate your time.
My social media has been lit up by having your presence on it. That's for sure.
Oh, thank you.
Which is always nice. Thanks so much for your time and your honesty and your generosity today.
Thank you, Adam. It was my pleasure.
Good. Was that my accent?
No.
It sounded English. It was like you're taking the mic.
Did I sound English?
Yeah, it was like, Come on, lad, let's go and do a podcast. No, absolutely wonderful. Some really interesting points to think about that I'm sure everyone will just love, and I'm sure they've enjoyed listening to this as much as I've enjoyed having a chat with you. I'll see you very soon, yeah?
Take care, Adam. Talk to you soon.
You too, matey. Ciao.
Bye. Bye.
I really hope you enjoyed that conversation with Beth. I really did. And it's just so awesome to hear a story like hers. It really is. As I mentioned at the start of the episode, please go and check out my website, www.thegymstarter.com. Even if you don't want training or anything like that, there's plenty of articles on there that really help. There's plenty of information that's going to help drive you forward and help answer what it is you maybe have the question to. At the minute with lockdown 2.0, home workouts are a big issue, and I've got the ultimate guide to home workouts on there. If you need to know what to do, how to do it, why to do it, how to stay motivated to do it, it's on my website. So go and please check that out. The other thing I want to say at this point in time is thank you. Just thank you so much for being here. I can't do this without you. I can't do this without knowing that it's going into people's ears, and the feedback I'm getting means a hell of a lot to me. And the podcast is growing quite nicely. In order to help it grow, then, you know, you can leave a review on whatever you listen to. That means a lot to me. Just drop me an Instagram message and say, hey, listen to your episode. I think your podcast is great. And that'll mean an awful lot to me as well. It just in little doses of thanks keep me inspired to keep working on it. And it keeps me going. In the same way you listening to my voice keeps you going, me listening to your voice keeps me going. So it's a lovely figure of eight of energy that we have. And the more I get that, the more I can put into it and the more I can give back to you, which is really and truly all I need and all you will need, I hope. So that's it from me. I hope you have an awesome day. I hope you're having the most fantastical week. And I really, truly can't wait to talk to you again. Peace, love, and protein. High fives and positive vibes. Ciao.